Hello, everyone, and welcome back. If you're new to me, I'm the founder of Grace and Hope Consulting, where we empower people to achieve mental and emotional wellness, reach their full potential, and live fulfilling lives. I am Shua Allegra, and I am inviting new friends to the table to kind of have this conversation about resilience. We get to meet new people, learn about who they are, about what they do, and how all of that relates to resilience so that we can gain nuggets of wisdom that we can apply in our own lives as well. So welcome, Christina. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for inviting me. Hi, yeah. Everybody.
Hello. So let's just kind of kick it off here. Let us know who you are and what you do.
Yeah. My name is Christina Ray Stanton, and I live in New York City. And I do a few things, but I would say that I'm a licensed New York City tour guide, and I've been a tour guide since 1995, a long time. Wow. My husband and I also founded a nonprofit called Loving All Nations that helps folks who have suffered from man-made or natural disasters around the world. And I'm a writer. So I've written two books and several articles, mainly dealing with my struggles in my past and things that have happened and lessons I've learned through them. So I enjoy writing. So that's me.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thanks for being here. So as you talked about being a tour guide, I didn't even know that actually there was a license for being tour guides in New York City. And you've been doing it for so long. So I have this fear of big cities. It's funny because we lived in New York, Manhattan, when I was younger. And I think at that point, it didn't bother me because I was not the one worrying about where we needed to be. But now I will now drive to New York City. And even when, so maybe next time I go, I will have to reach out to you to say, hey, I'm coming. You can be my tour guide. My kids are begging to go.
I don't drive either. I mean, in fact, I don't have many friends at all who have cars in this city. You just walk and you see things and I'd love to be your tour guide. I love being a tour guide. I've been one for a long time. It's a lot of fun. And not every city has their guides become licensed, just New York City in That's particular. You have to pass a written and oral exam, which I did in 1995.
Wow. Cool. It's good that they have that. And I'm good with the whole walking thing is good. But now my fear is getting on the subway or getting on the bus and not knowing where to get off and getting lost. I'll have to learn all of that when we do meet.
Yes.
Yeah. So about writing, you said you write, you've been writing things that happened in the past. So that, definitely ties to resilience. And so I'm just curious, first of all, how did you get into writing? Like, what was that process like? You're like, maybe I have something here that I want to share with others.
Well, that's funny. It's a good question because I was never one of those people who journaled. And I always kind of thought, well, that's an interesting, if I heard that somebody did. Express themselves through writing or writing journals or diaries. I always thought that was interesting, but it was not for me. And when I was at New York City, I had a job with my church that involved writing updates on the church newsletter. And it was, I kind of got into the habit there and realized, it really is a creative outlet. I was a person who was not very creative otherwise. I didn't, was never a painter, was a terrible painter. I couldn't do anything with my hands that was creative, but until I found writing. So writing is still relatively new, but once I got into it, you kind of couldn't stop me. I just find it so cathartic and it's such a great self-expression. So I think everybody needs some type of creative outlet to express themselves. And I wish I had actually discovered it a little earlier. but I'm making up for lost time now.
There you go. So what are you writing and where can people find your work, what you've written?
I wrote a book about my experience with 9/11 and that came out in 2019. There's been, my understanding is, over 700 books written about 9/11. And so when I was writing it and I was kind of trying to get some feedback from publishers of the angle of my story, and they were like, you know, who wants to read about 9/11 now? And I remember thinking, actually, a lot of people do, because as a tour guide, I take people to the 9/11 Memorial and Museum all the time. And I was aware that the desire to learn about 9/11 was still very fresh. Mm-hmm. It was still obviously something that people were very interested in. And I was also kind of struck by the lack of knowledge that a lot of people have about 9/11 from all over the country and all over the world. And again, I know that through the thousands of tours that I tour every single year, and I have been doing for, again, since 1995. Mm-hmm. So I wrote a story about our firsthand account, written from the perspective of people who lived in the neighborhood where the attacks took place in New York City. Then I went through my own bout with COVID in March 2020. It was one of those earlier cases. And I do believe I had a particularly bad case of COVID due to my health being compromised from 9/11. You know, 9/11 has really compromised a lot of people's health who inhaled the toxic dust when the towers came down. It produced, you know, a whole bunch of debris and dust that got into people's bodies, and it formed cancers, even years, even decades.
I've heard those stories as well. Yeah.
So I have a story with that. And so I had a really bad case of COVID that was hospitalized twice and told that I had about a 50% chance of surviving it. And I wrote about that journey. And I've also written over 50 articles that were different ways of thinking about 9/11 and COVID. And I'm writing a series now about what I'm calling Heroes of the Faith, which are modern day people who are doing things to help others, even in the age of COVID, even in the age of division, where people are really kind of at each other's throats, even if they claim to be of the same religion or the same political party. You know, it's just, it's an angry age. And my way to combat that, to tell you the truth, is to write about people who are not letting those things kind of rule their world. They're out doing good in the world, and almost it's their way of combating this angry age. And so I've written a whole bunch of stories about modern day heroes, who I call. Yeah, so I'm enjoying writing those, because those are positive and makes me feel like it kind of gets back to the basic of people doing good things trying to, instead of write angry words and say angry things to each other, do things to help each other in an angry age.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you've been writing a lot, like you say, making up for lost time. And you kind of just made a little slight there. But if I heard you correctly, you got diagnosed with COVID early 2020, and you were writing a book while, you know, you had 50% chance of living.
Very good. I actually was writing.
You just kind of slid with the stomach. It was no big deal. I'm like, did you say, like, you know, just wow.
You were doing the math, I see. So, you know, what really kind of propelled me to write was I had that long-term COVID kind of syndrome after I realized I was going to live. It took me a good 2 months to be convinced that I was probably going to live through this, because it really wreaked havoc on my body. But I really didn't move much for the whole rest of the year. And so it gave me a lot of time to reflect and think and write about that experience. I found it really upsetting, and to tell you the truth. I mean, it was like an alien had invaded your body and was trying to kill you. And at one point I remember like saying to my body, like, stop trying to kill me, because that's what it felt like this virus was doing. So it was really kind of like a real mental battle, because it wasn't just a physical battle, it was a real mental battle as well. So I wanted to express myself after. And also I felt that my case was so early and there was so much confusion and, you know, misinformation out there that would be debunked the next day, and it still is, that I kind of wanted to throw my voice out there of somebody who had a bad case. Because to tell you the truth, I wasn't reading a ton of people who were talking about their firsthand experience, and a lot of people were having it at the time. Wow. So I wanted to throw my voice out there just in case it would help anybody. I remember I even wrote a checklist of things that I wish I had known that would have helped me if I got the virus, for instance, of how to prepare my room, how to, things that I needed around me. I mean, when I got it, there was a lot of run on stores and there was a lot of materials that a lot of stores weren't carrying because they'd been sold out.
Yeah.
And I'd never heard of a pulse oximeter. I'd never heard of such a thing. We didn't have any thermometers in the house. We, you know, I even wrote a checklist that I was passing around on social media saying, hey guys, you know what? I wish I'd had these things when I had it. I mean, even from that, I really wanted to be of service. I wanted to help, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you are helping, which leads me to my next question with the nonprofit. So tell us about that. What's that all about?
You know, after 9/11, my husband and I were actually homeless for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. We lived 6 blocks within the World Trade Center complex. Wow. And you don't hear a lot about the perspective of the 20,000 plus people who lived in the immediate radius of the World Trade Center complex, but we were all homeless. We couldn't get back to our apartments for many different reasons. But, you know, I never had that experience of not having a home to go to. Yeah. And I am not at all equating my experience with somebody who struggles with chronic homelessness or even refugees who were forced to flee their home country to go to a foreign country just to find some modicum of safety. But at any rate, I just found it dehumanizing, discombobulating, and it stayed with me, that experience, that afterwards, my husband and I started this nonprofit that helps people in the aftermath of if there was a war or if there, because you can imagine that I've been very active with my nonprofit with the Ukraine.
I was asked that too, yeah.
Refugees and homeless, and whether it's man-made or natural, that I felt a real passion for people who found themselves really in the margins after disaster, and help is not readily available. So we've been helping. It's relatively new, about 5 years old, but we don't take any overhead. It's pure, the money that comes through my nonprofit goes straight to the organizations and the trusted organizations that we've vetted that will give to the people who are being least tended to, who are just finding themselves on the margins. And so I'm happy to say that we've sent about 25,000 to, for instance, a church in Poland who has turned his entire church into a refugee house for Ukrainians who are fleeing the country. Wow. And he has all these services and goods and that he is gifting Ukrainians who are fleeing. And I guess Krakow, where his church is located, is in a major route out of the country of Ukraine. And so he is in the front lines helping people. So I'm happy to say that we have fundraised $25,000 to help him in his efforts. So
nice. Wow. Well, David, thanks for all that you do. And I can't help but ask, so 9/11, COVID, and even the work you do for your nonprofit is taxing emotionally, mentally, because you're dealing with crises, you know, nonstop. That's your business, right? It's kind of coming around those who are hurting after a crisis. Where do you find your resilience and how do you find it? Like, what's helped you through all of this?
That's a great question. I mean, I find it primarily through my faith. And I just feel that when push comes to shove and you've come to the end of yourself and you've come to the end of anything you can do to control a situation, then you can either cling to God or you can just be frustrated and let the situation take control of you. And I really felt that the couple of times in my life when I felt that was probably going to be the end of my life, all the things that I wanted to do in my life and all the goals that I had really meant nothing at that time. What meant anything was relationship with God, with your creator. And I realized through 9/11 that relationship was weak and that relationship was really not there. And I missed that. And I, at a time when I needed faith, I didn't have it. And I vowed to never be in that position again. And it turns out I draw on that strength through that I get through my creator every single day of my life. Mm-hmm. So my faith is really super important to me and has helped me to bounce back from everything that life has thrown my way. I mean, and my faith actually tells me through the Bible that we're going to suffer in this world, but it's God who is with us in the suffering. And that gives me a huge amount of comfort. I also have, even in the midst of sorrow and pain, a lot of gratitude. Mm-hmm. And that has helped me through life as well, that even in COVID, I mean, I was very grateful for so many little things. And at times it was the little things that mattered. Right. Yeah. And so that was part of how I was able to mentally combat that virus was real gratitude. And I actually think that gratitude is something that we do have control of, and that it that does produce positive results. And then finally, I'm also going to talk about community, because, you know, when COVID happened, for instance, we're such independent people in America. We're so used to ordering out, ordering food, ordering groceries, ordering things that would come to our home. But you know what? A lot of that wasn't happening. The supply chain was messed up. There was a run on stores for toilet paper, for Tylenol, for all kinds of things. And a lot of people who would be making those runs and bringing things to your home weren't working. They quit, right? Because they didn't want to expose themselves to the virus and other reasons. And so all of a sudden, a lot of people found themselves all this having to rely on each other, old school. Right. And, you know, we just never need to be so independent that we lose that connection to each other, because we need each other. We need each other's support. Mm-hmm. We need each other's love. We need each other's care and concern. Yeah. And it's wonderful that we can use Amazon and other retailers that can bring things to your doorstep, but that should never take place of being able to have the blessing of relying on others, because, you know, and also be that person that people rely on. No. I mean, we're blessed to be a blessing, and we need to never lose that, because that's part of the human experience. And I really regained that, the importance of that during COVID and in 9/11.
Yeah, right on. And you talk, all of us, you know, here, pretty much everybody, even when I interviewed, kind of echo that community and gratitude and doing those hardships during adversity. And you know, definitely for us people, faith, you know, faith is what helps us find that community too, and find that gratitude for sure. Wow. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for writing. And thank you for, you know, touring, you know, helping people tour the city and learn more about it. And so where can people find you? How can people connect with you?
You know, my books are sold on Amazon. This is my book, but it's Out of the Shadow of 9/11. Mm-hmm. But also, I have a lot of articles coming out. And if you want to find out what's coming out, especially, I told you my series of modern heroes, you can look me up at ChristinaRayStanton.com. So ChristinaRayStanton. So that is a listing of all the articles I've written and that have just come out, and appearances that I make all over the world. I talk a lot about 9/11 to groups. And so, yeah, that's how you can find me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. We'll be sure to add that link there on the caption here so people can click on it and find out more about, you know, about your writing and connect with you. Again, thanks for being here. For everyone out there, gratitude, community, and faith.
Thank you. It's nice meeting you.
Thank you. Take care.